Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, January 2018 edition. So let's move on to the first article that we have today is from the Healthy and Happy section of Essence, and it's titled, What Your Body is Saying. Our bodies are always communicating with us. Here's a head-to-head or head-to-toe guide to help you better understand the warning signs of critical ailments. Your anatomy is constantly changing with aches and pains that come along with daily wear and busy lifestyles. It can be easy to downplay symptoms that could be indicating chronic conditions. Black women are caregivers who are always there for others. It is important that you take care of yourself, says Van H. Dunn, MD, a primary care physician in New York City. Whether it's a simple concern or something more serious, your body may be gently whispering or outright screaming for attention. Here's what she might be trying to tell you. Number one, when it comes to your head, having a headache for an hour is normal. Having one that lasts for days is not. You should see your doctor if your headache lasts an unusually long time or you have other symptoms with it like weakness, nausea, vomiting, or blurred or doubled vision. Says Dunn, when a patient has these signs, he usually checks the duration, location, and intensity of the pain. Blacking out can be a result of getting up too quickly, so not enough blood reached your brain. Low blood pressure or hyperglycemia from not eating all day. It could also be more concerning, like you've had a small stroke or a seizure, or there's a brain tumor. Listen to your body and don't be afraid to talk to a doctor about your symptoms. When it comes to your hair, damaging your tresses with extensions, tight braids, or weaves can cause traction alopecia. Several other external factors could also be at the root of hair woes. I see a lot of women of color with discoid lupus, an autoimmune condition that affects the scalp and the skin, says Michelle Henry, MD, a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser surgery and cosmetic dermatology. Menopausal patients with estrogen loss or women with hypothyroidism and underactive thyroid gland can also suffer from thin, damaged strands or bald patches. Typical treatments include topical steroids or oral medications. Henry has also found success with platelet-rich plasma therapy, in which the platelets in your blood are removed and injected back into the scalp to stimulate growth. Number three, when it comes to your eyes, if your once perfect vision is suddenly blurry, it could be a sign that your blood pressure is too high, which causes the lens of the eye to swell and changes your ability to see. Yellowing in the whites of your eyes could mean liver damage or hepatitis, while redness could be anything from allergies to glaucoma. If you notice a dramatic change in your vision or eyes appearance or experience eye pain, see an eye doctor or visit the ER or urgent care as soon as possible, advises Dunn. Number four, when it comes to your heart, since heart disease is the number one killer of Americans, it's vital to know the difference between heartburn, indigestion, and a heart attack. Heart attack symptoms in women differ greatly from those experienced by men, says Dunn. It's not just one thing, but all of the symptoms combined: lightheadedness, nausea, fatigue, and an uncomfortable feeling of pressure or squeezing in the chest or back, or potential signs that something is going on with your heart and cause for an immediate doctor's visit. Maintaining a healthy weight while managing your blood pressure and cholesterol can significantly lower your risk of heart disease. And finally, for number five, when it comes to your breast, when women come to see Janice J. Abbey, MD, assistant professor of OBGYN at New York Presbyterian and Columbia University Medical Center, and express concerns about breast pain or a palpable breast mass, the first thing she does is congratulate them. I acknowledge that they are comfortable enough to do their own breast exams and familiar enough with their breasts to know when something is different. She says, these are your breasts. You know, you have to know whether they feel different. Most breast pain and palpable masses require a full exam, which includes family history, age, and a mammogram or a breast ultrasound to diagnose the problem accurately. Moving on to health or healthy and happy spirituality. Your spirit team is here. In the Bible, the angel Gabriel came to Mary to let her know she was about to carry a baby to be named Jesus. Each of us has angels and support in the spirit world to guide us on our journey. Medium teacher and Essence.com contributor Zaya shares how to connect with yours. As I've come into my spiritual gifts over the years, various forces have assisted me while I sought to enhance my mental physical abilities and have led me through certain times of uncertainty, fear, depression, and despair. Your spirit team can consist of your ancestors alongside supernatural beings that choose to shepherd you through this lifetime, helping you to make better decisions and giving emotional support when you need it. These beings are often depicted and recognized in different sacred systems of belief, such as the Orishas of the Santeria religion or the various saints within Catholicism. Despite having been conditioned to box in the spirit world, many people are convinced that they have support from every realm from the Creator. I have had angels step up to encourage me along this journey without me asking or practicing a particular religion. My late dad, best friend, and grandmother also had made appearances. Are you ready to meet your spirit team? Here's how to get started. Number one, tell yourself that you are open to guidance from the highest good. This really helps you to believe it as well, so trust. Number two, meditate for 10 minutes a day to practice quieting your mind. Spirit messages are often subtle and can require a bit of focus to receive and interpret in the beginning. Any type of meditation will do, even taking a walk in nature where you notice the little things. The better you are at getting centered, the better you'll be able to take direction from your team. Number three, stop playing the victim and look for the lesson in every situation. Be quick with gratitude and slow with judgment for the challenges that life puts in your path. Number four, research ways to hear from your spiritual aids. I recommend reading Ask Your Guides, Connecting to Your Divine Support System by Sonia Chiquette. Number five, begin working with your guides by making simple requests. For example, while you're in the shower, you might ask that your commute go smoothly that morning. Watch what happens. Number six, write a list of your desires and needs for your guides and see what manifests. It's always wise to offer a quick prayer of protection and urge that only those from the highest good provide assistance. Number seven, go to sleep with an intended question and ask your team to reveal the answers in your dream. Be sure to note in your journal what you remember the next morning as soon as you wake up. Number eight, set a daily time to chat with your helpers. Simply sit in a private chill space, ask questions out loud, and wait to see if you receive the message in your head as words and sounds, also known as clairaudience, in your mind's eye, or with a feeling like chills through your body or butterflies in your stomach. As you get more in tune with your team, you'll begin to understand how each member communicates with you. You can even ask them their names and the ways in which they are portrayed. it's always cool to journal this time or record it on your phone so that you can check back in. And then finally, number 9, be on the lookout for these common signs from spirits: random feathers, coins, birds, and angel numbers, which you may come across repeatedly. Getting in touch and working with your team takes time and attention, but it's certainly worth it to be supported in your spiritual journey. Again, this is that was from Healthy and Happy section in Spirituality from the Essence January 2018 edition. So let's move on to another topic. Issues from the Issues section. Young Phenomenon. Wonder Woman. As a kid, Marina Robinson Snowden never imagined she would have a future in science. Now she's reshaping what it means to be a woman working in STEM. This past May, Marina Robinson Snowden, PhD, defended her doctoral thesis in the field of nuclear engineering. That was quite a feat for the self-proclaimed slow learner. Today, the 29-year-old, who's doing a one-year fellowship at the National Nuclear Security Administration, is conducting research that has clear real-world implications. I focus on arms control agreements, explained Snowden, whose thesis was on nuclear warhead monitoring. For example, if countries that have nuclear weapons agree to reduce a certain number by treaty, we use technology to verify compliance. I became interested in how we can use radiation detection to verify these arms control agreements. As part of her job, she often collaborates with policymakers on projects she can't talk much about. Still, we sat down with Snowden to find out how she got to where she is now. So Essence asked her some questions, and then she followed up with the answer. First question that Essence asked her was, were you always interested in math and science? Her answer is, my earliest memory of science and math was fear. I would try to get a stomach ache so I didn't have to do the coursework. I didn't understand the fundamental connection between struggle and learning. Struggle is not evidence that you can't do the work, but that you're on the path to understanding. I was fortunate enough to have a 10th grade algebra teacher who reframed the process for me. She showed me I was capable of doing math if I gave myself a chance. You ultimately went on to study physics at Florida A&M, FAMU, before getting your doctorate at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. Take us through that journey. MIT has a program geared toward increasing the number of underrepresented minorities and women in STEM. The school brings 40 to 50 undergraduate students together every summer for 9 weeks. I was a completely different person when I left. After I graduated from FAMU, I was accepted into the Nuclear Science and Engineering program at MIT. What do you think needs to happen to increase diversity in STEM fields? Once these women get there, what culture are they coming up against? Does the culture encourage their success, or does it stifle them? As you climb the ladder in STEM, women and underrepresented minorities fall off. Institutions also have to reflect on their own performance. How many students of color have completed their degrees? How many students of color have left with a degree that they intended to leave with? Those are the questions that must be asked. What advice would you give to young girls interested in these vital subjects? To parents, I'd say, don't count out your kids if they don't show math and science skills right away. I didn't at first. And to girls, in the event that you don't have accessible role models, sometimes you have to compose your own, taking a little bit out of this person and that person. Find the attributes you admire in other people. And then the final question that Essence asked her was, what has been your experience working in this arena? I was the only African-American in my department at the grade level for the last 4 years. I was at MIT. My department had serious conversations about what that meant and what needed to be done. I will never know why certain things happened to me. I've taught myself how to frame whatever comes my way. I now operate under the paradigm that struggle is part of the process. This is just the name of the game. And the only thing I can control is how I see things and how I choose to leverage things for my benefit or for my detriment. My business is to be about my business. Moving on to another article under Money and Power. The new sisterhood. Investors aren't flocking toward or to support black women-owned businesses, so we're funding them ourselves. Black women are trendsetters, and we're joining the ranks of entrepreneurship at a higher rate than any other demographic, according to an American Express Open 2015 State of Women-Owned Businesses report. In the race to secure much-needed capital, however, we're trailing behind. People invest in entrepreneurs who look like them, explains social entrepreneurship advocate Natalia Oberti-Nagora. Our fledgling enterprises on average raise $36,000 in capital, according to the hashtag Project Diane report, which was released in 2016 by Digital Undivided, a social enterprise that fosters growth and empowerment for black and Latino women. By contrast, the average failed startup, typically led by a white male, raised $1.3 million. In 2011, Oberti-Nagora established Pipeline Angels, a network of women investors who provide money to female entrepreneurs. Since its launch, Pipeline Angels has taught more than 200 members how to evaluate companies and other skills necessary to be successful angel investors, those who finance startups in exchange for company equity. To compete for funding, entrepreneurs are invited to try to persuade Pipeline Angels members to bankroll their ventures at pitch summits. Even the candidates who don't get the green light can receive constructive feedback and make connections. Whether you're a budding entrepreneur or someone who's intrigued by the notion of pooling dollars to invest in sister CEOs, read on for examples of black women investing in black women so you can take the first step. So now we have some stories of some black women that have made investments. So the first investor is Lorene Pendleton. She's age 48. She resides in New York City, and she's a five-figure stake in Tastemakers Africa, a company that offers consumers travel experiences in African countries. So this is her story. Lorene Pendleton was watching a show that highlighted the fact that less than 1% of African Americans get venture capital or angel funding. I thought that was pretty abysmal and appalling. And I said, I want to help change that, says the small business and startup advisor. She then read about Pipeline Angels. While she's committed to helping women build their enterprises, Pendleton makes it clear that the operation must be on point. At the end of the day, I'm looking to get a return on my investment. I invest in companies I think will grow, she says. When Pendleton first heard about Tastemakers Africa from a colleague, admittedly, she didn't think it was ready for an investment. However, after learning about founder Sheree Robinson winning a Pipeline Angels pitch contest, Pendleton was impressed. At that point, Sheree had already partnered with Uber Africa and South African Airways. Pendleton says she had redesigned her app, so she had tremendous growth. When she came to my office, we talked about what she was doing, and then I decided to invest. How the investment helped? Tastemakers Africa received $60,000 from Pipeline Angels. We were able to hire another contract engineer to get our platform into a better place, says Robinson, age 33. The cash infusion also extended a lifeline to the outfit. We were running on very low margins and sometimes at a loss at the early stages, she adds. The money from Pipeline helped keep our operation going and helped us experiment and get a new, more profitable model. Tastemakers Africa is now launching a new website and a mobile app that will allow customers to connect with local influencers when exploring African cities, says Robinson. You might go to Ghana and see a DJ on the platform and then sign up to do a 3-hour experience with him, learning how to mix Afro beats. Or you might spend a full day with a historian who takes you around an interesting part of Johannesburg, South Africa. Robinson has also benefited from the contacts she made through the organization. Yes, they gave us $60,000, but I think bigger than that is every week I'm getting outreach from Pipeline, like, oh, there's this event. Oh, there's a conference. Angel investors can do more for you than give you money. The next investor name is Montresa L. Washington. She's in her mid-40s. She resides in Columbia, Maryland. And one of her investments she put in $5,000 in Blendor, a company that produces technology to reduce bias in recruitment. So her story is, Washington always plays the stock market. In her 20s, she had even joined investment clubs. Her participation in the money-making activity led her to explore the world of venture capitalism, but she found it difficult to break in. It's a very old boy network and environment, she says. Then she learned about angel investing and read about Pipeline Angels. The business management consultant was immediately taken with the organization's format. You don't have to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this. When a company is doing a round of funding, every dollar matters. Stephanie Lampkin, the creator of Blendor, piqued the consultant's interest. People don't invest in companies. They invest in people, says Washington. I think that Stephanie is smart, dynamic, very committed to the mission of her business, and very committed to leveling the playing field as it relates to hiring. How the investment helped? Blendor's app takes job applicant information and presents it without identifying information such as names, photos, and dates, so employers judge applicants on their merits alone. Blendor received $35,000 from Pipeline Angels in the fall of 2015. The funds were used to hire contractors to get the product up and running. We released our beta product about 4 or 5 months after the initial investment, says Lampkin, age 33. To date, Pipeline Angels has put in $200,000. We're going to hire full-time employees, a data scientist, and a back-end engineer as we continue to scale our product. Lampkin adds, Washington's expertise also has proved beneficial to Blendor. As a certified human resources professional, I felt like I had an industry expertise and knowledge that I could bring to the table, coupled with the fact that I think Stephanie is fantastic and I very much want to see her succeed, she says. And then we have investor Ahaji Amos, age 41, which she resides in Chicago, and one of her investments is $15,000 in Gold Setter, an online platform that helps kids to save and reach their financial objectives. So her story is, Amos has never had a problem coming up with great ideas. The problem is the intellectual property attorney doesn't have the time to pursue them. A friend introduced her to Pipeline Angels as a way to support other female entrepreneurs. Both of us had noticed the disparities in the types of funding that the minority and female businesses have access to as opposed to a majority of male startup companies, she says. Though Amos had a little knowledge about angel investing when she joined the Pipeline program, thanks to its boot camp, she says, I feel pretty confident when I'm looking at companies in terms of knowing whether they're a good fit for me and my portfolio. Amos liked the professionalism of goal setter founder Tanya Van Court. She had all her documents together, so when she requested them, she sent them in 15 minutes. Her corporate structure was correct. Her management structure was correct. Van Court also nailed her pitch and showed investors why it would behoove them to back her enterprise. There are lots of good ideas, but if she can't sell it, I can't sell it, Amos adds. And how the investment helped. Van Court was inspired to start the business when her 8-year-old daughter said she wanted an investment account. But Van Corp, age 45, quickly saw that growing it into a profitable enterprise required money. A $200,000 infusion from Pipeline members allowed her to hone Goal Setter's marketing efforts. She launched marketing campaigns targeting a mom-focused audience on various sites, including mommy blogs and social media, and through other media outlets to see which ones performed the best. We had 10 ads running at a time on Facebook, and some of them would be 5 times more expensive than other ones. But you have to test them in order to find the ads that really resonate with your audience. Van Court says, there are costs in trying to find your early adopters. There are costs in improving your product. There are costs in finding your market. Overall, the experience was positive. We, as an African-American community, don't have the same kinds of resources and family members with resources that other communities have, Van Court says. So Pipeline Angels was really a lifesaver for me, quite frankly. How to make your pitch irresistible to investors. Are you looking to put your business in front of angel investors? Consider this advice from investors and the women who've won their dollars. Number one, know your numbers. A good idea is not enough. You need to show when the idea will pay off. Make sure it's scalable. Point out how your business can grow or has the potential to go public or even get acquired. Cite the investor benefit. Angel investors want to know what's in it for them. Practice your pitch. Most angel investors ask the same questions. Put your money where your mouth is. Angel investors want to know you believe in your business. And then finally, nurture relationships. An angel investor may not buy in immediately, but keep an open dialogue. So it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleRadioReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.